I told Brother Kenny I didn't come prepared to get up here. That didn't make him, that didn't bother him a bit. So you'll have to put up with me, and I apologize for that. It is wonderful to be here. It's wonderful to see all of you, to hear the singing and the voices. Very thankful for the opportunity to be here, for the opportunity to praise our Lord and Savior, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We started off with a song this morning that Brother Kenny said was from Psalms 42. And David was in bad problems. And it starts out with, "As thirst the heart for water brook." And as I think about that, I've been listening to a gentleman that talks about the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament and the New Testament are one story. We forget that sometimes. But he's been talking about, I've got 10 pages of notes about the Old Testament and the New Testament, that everything Jesus said tied back to the Old Testament. And we forget that. We get tied up in the New Testament. But as thirst the heart for water brooks, one of the things that, I don't know how you think of that, but I think of this area out here. You know, water's not that far away. But to David, it was a long ways between water. And so a heart, a deer that thirsts for water is desperate. It's life-giving. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to thirst for God the same way. But I'm afraid we don't, because we're too complacent. Now, I told you I've got pages of notes, and I'm going to go back to it. If you've got your Bibles and want to turn with me, the verse I'm going to talk to you about is 1 Peter 2:9. You know that verse. You can probably quote it faster than I can find it. I know Brother Kenny can. But 1 Peter 2:9 says this. Yeah, if I get to chapter 2. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, where in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Now, what does that mean? Where's that come from? Thought about it? Well, it's important. You know, okay, we're a chosen nation. God chose us. Okay? And that generation means a nation. And a royal priesthood. We're a royal priesthood. Why are we royal? Because we're adopted into God's family, and Jesus is a king. That makes us royal. And we're a priesthood. We're set aside, just like the Levites. We're set aside for a purpose. A holy nation. Now Peter is talking to the strangers that are scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The elect. Okay? He says, we're a holy nation. That nation there means a non-Jewish tribe, the Gentiles. And a peculiar people. Now today's words for peculiar means you're strange. Well, we are. Because it also means we're purchased. We're purchased. And how are we purchased? With the very dearest payment ever. The blood of Jesus paid the price for you and I that we can't come up with. There's nothing that we can do. Now, let me go back over here to my notes, because it was important that I know what the verses are. If you'll go to Exodus 19, and I'll show you something I learned. I'm sure you've read these verses too, but maybe you're like me. It's a good story, but I just didn't quite catch it. Let's just start chapter 19, verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to this desert of Sinai. And by the way, when you think of desert, you need to think of desert. You know, they called this area desert. This is land of milk and honey. Sinai is out there, and there's not very much grass. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He'll lead me into green pastures. We think of it with lots of grass around, but for them, for the Israelites, there was a bite of grass here, and a bite of grass over there, and a bite of grass over there, and that was green pastures. Changes things when you start looking at it. If you'll think of it from the time period and the culture and the geography, it changes the words for you. At least it has for me. Verse 3 says, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, Thou shalt say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you into myself." This is God talking. He's talking to the Israelites. He's talking to us because we're adopted in. We're engrafted in, if you read Paul in chapter 11 of Romans. Okay? He says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey," hear intelligently, "my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure." There's that word again. It came from all the way back. Peter comes from all the way back in Exodus to put it in his letter. A peculiar treasure. By the way, the peculiar right there means shut up as wealth. The treasure is shut up as wealth, and peculiar is paid for. Ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, and for all the earth is mine. What we've got here is not ours. We forget that. We don't have anything. The fact that we're wearing clothes is because God provided them for us. Really, it's silly to be sitting here without any clothes on, but it's only because God is with us. "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Ye shall be a kingdom of priests." Now, what do priests do? What's the purpose of a priest? A priest is to show forth who God is. That's his purpose. He's to get up in front of the people and remind the people who God is. And by what he does every day, he is showing forth what God has done. And it's a kingdom. The kingdom of heaven didn't start in the New Testament. The kingdom of heaven started in Genesis 1. When God created the heavens and the earth. But we don't think about it that way because we're too tied up in New and Old Testaments. But I want you to think about it. He says, a priest does this. A priest is somebody, a person that puts God on display by teaching and living, by doing God's will. Are you a priest? Are you doing God's will? He's a bridge between God and the people. Are you a bridge between God and other people? When you're walking out in the world, do you show forth what God has done for you, or do you get in amongst the rest of us? I'm pointing fingers at me, by the way, not you. Okay? Because I'm up here, and it really comes home. He is meeting the needs on God's behalf on an individual basis. He bears God's presence. And he is to be set apart. He's to be holy. Okay. Peter says, you are a chosen generation. We know that. A little bit further on, he tells the Israelites, God tells the Israelites through Moses, that they are his bride. You're the bride of Christ. Because as Gentiles, we have been grafted into the vine. Jesus says he's the vine in chapter 15 of John. I am the vine. My Father is the husbandman. Without me, you can do nothing. Basically what he's saying. Okay? We're engrafted in. We're chosen. If you believe in Jesus Christ as the very Son of God, you're a chosen person of God, and he has got a purpose for you. He says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You're a prince, princess. You've got power as you walk out on this earth today. You are a priesthood. You're like the Levites. And like the Levites, we have a tendency to get off and do the wrong things. You know, the Levites, when they started following the little g gods, they'd do everything, you know. They'd get right down in, you know, they'd offer sacrifices to little g gods. We do the same thing if we're not careful. He says, a holy nation. Holy is hagios. Hagios means set apart, consecrated, anointed. Now, why don't you think about anointed real quick? When God anointed God through Samuel, anointed David as the king of Israel, he took some oil and put some oil on him. And that was a symbol of God's presence on him. That made him special. There was a purpose for that. And if you remember the story, there was six or seven other brothers. And Samuel looked at him and said, is there another one? Because these aren't the ones that God's chosen. And we'll just wait here till he gets here. David was anointed. Guess what? You're anointed. You are anointed a royal priesthood. You're anointed for a special purpose. And that purpose is to show forth who Jesus Christ is in your life. It's not just about heaven. That's the reward. That's the fact that you're a chosen child of God, and that's your home. We're just strangers here. But sometimes we get down and we start living in the place that's not our home. You're a royal priesthood. We should be showing forth who Christ is in everything that we do, we say, we think. 2 Corinthians, I can't tell you, maybe he can. There's a verse says take into captivity the very thoughts. Capture those thoughts and make sure those thoughts are about Jesus and not about, well, this is, yeah, look at me, I'm so good. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you, what? Out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people. The Gentiles weren't a people, but they were always promised that they would be involved. You just read through the Old Testament. He always talks about the Gentiles are going to be part of this. And he says, but are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. How have you obtained mercy? Through the very blood of Jesus Christ. Because you are a chosen royal priesthood, holy nation, and peculiar, purchased, redeemed people. And please remember that when it says redeemed, you were his to start out with, but you were lost. He paid the price to gain his people back. God bless you.